This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The Beltway Blitz is coming up in just a couple of moments. We'll cover the Nats with Britt Cirolli of The Athletic, the Wizards with Varun Shankar of The Washington Post, and the Commanders with Michael Phillips of 910 The Fan, Richmond. By the way, Danny, you just heard Linnell in the update bring this up, but Mike Rizzo tomorrow right here on The Fan with the Junkies. That had been his weekly appointment with them for years at 9 a.m., and he will be back on the air after having been relieved of his duties, fired by the Nats this week. But that is a grab-your-popcorn appointment radio opportunity for them to get the first public words from Rizzo in any interview since his dismissal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And good on him for doing it, obviously. And, you know, him and the Junks have built such a rapport over the years. You know, that everything that needs to be asked, they'll be asked, and he'll have a chance to, you know, get his word out and, you know, his message to fans and everything in between, man. That is must listen.
9 a.m., Mike Rizzo on with the Junkies. All right, let's get to the Beltway Blitz. Wizards on deck, Commanders in the hole. We start on the diamond. And we start with Britt Cirolli of The Athletic, who once covered the Nationals and now covers all things baseball nationally. What is your take on the oustering of Rizzo and Martinez together here in the middle of July?
Yeah, I thought like everyone else, guys, the timing was weird. I felt like they were it was pretty apparent that they weren't going to bring either of these guys back, that they didn't want to pick up the option on either one of these guys. They don't want to pay them. You know, what is kind of turned into a little bit of a hefty sum. And I was just confused as to the timing. During the losing streak could have been fine, during the All-Star break even. But it felt very much like a knee-jerk reaction from an ownership group that we haven't really seen knee-jerk reactions from, that has been more apathetic than anything. So, you know, ultimately, if you had told me that they weren't going to be back next year, that wouldn't have surprised me. But kind of similar to the Rafael Devers trade of the Red Sox, right? It was about the win, the timing of it, that seems to be the most curious.
So I think you touched on something, Britt. I have a million questions about this, and I know I'm never going to get the answers until somebody writes the book in like 15 years. But, I mean, is this possibly, and I'm kind of looking for a silver lining here, possibly the beginning of ownership engagement back with the team? I know spending's not happening. I've kind of got that out of my brain, but I'll take an engaged ownership, overseeing things than whatever this has been for the last several years.
I don't think so. I think this was a case where Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic wrote a pretty biting column on them. I think the Washington Post did some as well, and you know, what we know about the Learners is they don't handle criticism well. They are thin-skinned, and I think they felt like they were tired of being criticized and under the microscope. And obviously, guys, no, they're still under the microscope. Firing these guys didn't relieve them of any of that, but I think they felt like it shifted the onus away from them. You know, whether or not that actually accomplished that, I think is certainly room for debate.
Bricciaroli of The Athletic. So what now in terms of a GM search, a managerial search? What should they do? What will they do?
I feel like, guys, I would be surprised if they got a GM from outside of the organization. I feel like this is a situation where, you know, they probably will conduct a search, whether or not that is a real search or a search that, you know, really just kind of quells people that saying, well, you can't just promote, you know, the interim GM. I think when it comes to manager, they're going to be careful here. I think you're not going to probably get an expensive veteran manager. We know they don't like to spend a lot of money. And we know that baseball looks like it's headed towards a likely lockout at the end of 2026. So I just don't see them signing a manager who, let's say, a George Rorty or a Buck Showalter or a guy who's been out of baseball who's going to say, I'm not coming for 1 year. I'm not coming for, you know, $1 million. So I think what you're going to have likely is a first-time manager, which, you know, isn't the worst thing in the world. But I think until ownership allows whoever is GM to build out the infrastructure and to really, you know, beef up the front office. Rizzo had let a lot of people go over the years. They were, you know, really low on technology. We know their analytics, and they're behind in that regard as well. I think that they make hires that don't wow anyone, and they just sort of hang on for a little while because the sport facing the lockout, the media issues that are going on right now, I think once you get past maybe into 2028 or so, you have a much clearer situation and a much better valuation of what the Nationals are worth. And I think that, unfortunately, is going to probably be the most likely timeline for them to re-explore a sale. So I think the next couple of years, they're just going to kind of be hanging on, which I know people don't want to hear, but that's what I believe is the most likely scenario.
Where did Rizzo and by extension, Davey, fall short, where you could say, okay, I can kind of see them being let go?
Well, I think with Rizzo, it was a case of developing. And, you know, obviously they have a trio of really good players in Gore, Abrams, and Wood, but they don't have enough. They don't have enough players to supplement that. And you saw that on the field. And certainly with Davey, I think you could second-guess a lot of his managerial decisions. And the fact that the manager does not control a lot, but they do control fundamentals, how a team plays. And they just consistently didn't do the little things right, even though that's all Davey has ever preached. So I think Davey's comments about the coaches kind of put him on the chopping block. I don't want to say he got himself fired, but it certainly, I think, sped up that timeline. And given that they had to make that decision on Davey with the option, and I was told that the option on Rizzo could have waited until the end of the season, I think they just felt like if we're going to get rid of Davey now, if we're not going to pick up his option, then we might as well clean house and get rid of Rizzo too. I don't know how much they trusted him to make the number one pick in the draft if he knew he was going to be gone. I think there were a lot of things that weighed into this decision. These two guys brought a World Series to D.C. They did a lot of good for the Nationals, and I want to make sure that doesn't get lost. But I think it was long overdue for a change, for a fresh perspective. Now the key is going to be, can they get this fresh perspective in there? Can they get the right perspective in there, right? Not just who is cheapest, who's going to save us $8 million that isn't Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez.
Britt, it's really insightful. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Britt.
Nice commentary there. You can check out Britt's work in The Athletic. Let's talk basketball. Varun Shankar joins us now, covers the team for The Washington Post. And, Varun, since we last talked, the lads have been busy. The front office continues to assemble young talent. I was joking yesterday. They're just throwing as many 19- and 20-year-old former top-round picks against the wall as they can to see what sticks, huh?
Definitely. I mean, the Wizards are in a place where they're trying to find anyone who they think could be a potential cornerstone, and a lot of it means making bets and making reasonable bets on players who you drafted in the first round, players who were drafted by other teams in the first round, and trying to accumulate as much talent as possible and see what sticks.
Varun, what's the summer league roster going to shape up like? And, you know, might some of these guys that are second-year guys, might we see them for like an hour, and then they'll be, you know, flying to points beyond? Or how's this summer going to shape up?
Yeah, the summer league roster released yesterday. We actually went to the end of the summer league camp today. They will fly out to Vegas tomorrow, as will I. You saw, obviously, all the rookies from this year, but you also saw all the rookies from last year. So that's Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington, E.J. Johnson, and the guy they traded for from the Thunder, Dylan Jones, who's picked around the same range as Keyshawn and A.J. Johnson. So all of them will be on the roster. TBD, how much they'll play. I'd be really surprised if they played more than two games max. Probably they play one game and then they're done.
Varun, as far as the backcourt goes, we're about to see in the aforementioned summer league, Bub Carrington, Trey Johnson, I saw you watching them work out and have their shooting competition. How much a part of the 2025 measure of success is just those two guys coming together, playing big minutes, and really establishing themselves as the long-term answer in the backcourt?
I mean, it's a huge part, right? The Wizards have made massive investments in both players. I think with Bub, since he's entering his second year, you want to see some improvements with how he manages the game, some more high-level passes, a little bit more ability to get to the rim and create shots for others that way, while continuing to show his really excellent pull-up shooting ability. With Johnson, you want to see that shooting that he showed in college. Both these guys are great shooters. You want to see that translate. But you also want to see a little bit more of his in-between game pop up and a little bit more playmaking.
Varun, I am not a scout. I'm not qualified to be a scout. I'm barely qualified to do anything, if we're being honest. But I only saw Will Riley a couple times over the course of the year before we got into kind of conference tournament play. And there was never a time, I think I watched him, they got smashed by Tennessee. There was another national television game against a pretty good opponent where, you know, I never once thought, this is a guy that's going in the first round of the NBA draft. And to their credit, they identified him, I think, as a guy that's got a future. What does that future look like for Will Riley? Let's dream on best case and then maybe kind of the median case.
I mean, there are some obvious things to like about Will Riley. He's got guard skills and a forward frame. He's 6'8". I think he's got a slightly longer wingspan. Not a crazy wingspan, but a pretty good one. So he's got the versatility to guard up and down the lineup. He can dribble pretty well. He can create on the ball pretty well. He showed some ability. He is someone who already has a pretty polished scoring game. Now the question is, how does he fit that into a team context and also just get better at it so he's shooting more efficiently than he was?
What did you make of the Whitmore deal, and how much can he help them?
How much can he help them is TBD. I think he's a player with a lot of scoring upside. He's got to learn, again, another guy who's got to learn how to play within a team context. This was someone whose number one, number two, and number three objectives when he got the ball with Houston was score, and he really didn't do anything else. He's got to buy another defensive end. He's got to buy into a team system. But the talent is obvious. You hope that him playing for his hometown team creates a little bit more of a almost an attitude adjustment, and you hope that his athleticism can really shine. I think it was a perfectly, you know, it's 2 second-round picks. The Wizards have tons of those. It was a perfectly valid bet, and but it's a bet, and it's one worth making.
Yeah, 100%. Varun, thank you, buddy. Enjoy Summer League.
Same to you. Bye.
We'll see you, man. There he goes. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. It's our pal Michael Phillips, 910, the Fan in Richmond, the Richmonder, the whole kit and caboodle. Miguel, are we kind of glossing over some of the dramatics potentially with this Terry McLaurin situation? Everyone kind of assumes it's going to get done. Should we be assuming here?
Well, I think that past track record says it's going to get done. This is not a front office that has played this game with anybody before. This is a guy in Terry McLaurin who has been a team player, has showed up, and certainly has the track record here to get rewarded. I would point back to the Ryan Kerrigan extension, Danny. You remember that was signed literally the morning they reported for training camp. There were questions about that, if that would happen or not. And then the morning that everybody reported, hey, Ryan Kerrigan, he's locked up. We got an extension done. I'm sure seeing something similar to this. It's Terry's agent's job to get him every penny available. You putting on my fan hat here, it's their job to pay him those pennies. I think this gets done.
Who, and Michael Phillips of the Richmonder and the Richmond Odyssey Station is with us. Whose side would people be on, McLaurin or the front offices, in a world where he hasn't reported and they're at odds during training camp?
I think it would depend when the numbers leak, right? I think probably fair deal right now is 3 years, $90 million locked up for Terry. I think that's probably about where this thing lands. That's probably fair to all parties involved. If it's the team only wants to give him 2 years, we're all going to run to Terry's side. Terry is loved here. I think people will side with the star receiver who's done good things and been here through a lot with this franchise. If it's Terry wants 4 years guaranteed, okay, well now maybe the team is being reasonable and Terry isn't. So, the details are always the thing that determines these things.
Warren Sharp, who I like a lot and respect, he's very smart, and I'm kind of okay in terms of smarts, ranked Washington's running back room 29th out of 32 teams. This was a drum that I was beating all offseason. I don't want to go spend on a Saquon Barkley or try to shoot the moon and copy what Baltimore did with Derrick Henry. I don't know how many of those guys there are. I thought this was an upgradable spot, though. And they said we're pretty happy with this group, and they took a flyer on a seventh rounder who played one game last year. I don't know, man. I'm not confident in that running back room. Where you at?
Hey, you like Jayden Daniels more than Patrick Mahomes, though, so that's something. We'll give him something. I think you want to be ahead of league trends, not behind them, right? So, the Eagles, the Ravens make great running back acquisitions at the bottom of the market. Now all of a sudden Saquon Barkley wins the Super Bowl. Everybody's got to have a running back. The running back market was not rational this offseason. I think Adam Peters sees that and says, I'm playing a long game here. I don't need to push my chips into the middle of the table right now. I'm going to wait out this market. It's a little bit crazy this year. Now, I agree with you. Short term, that is to the detriment of this team. They could have upgraded at running back. I don't think they did. Long term, that's the correct move in terms of managing a salary cap that's going to have a $70 million quarterback in a few years, which it will. I'd add, though, I think Deebo Samuel counts as an upgrade for the running back room. Maybe you don't score it exactly that way. I think he improves their running game, though.
Michael, there's a lot of swirling winds on the stadium negotiation between the Commanders and D.C. The only thing that's known right now is that there's no chance this July 15th deadline is getting met with a vote. But what's your level of confidence that they land this plane still?
Well, I think that was a misstep by the mayor to set that deadline, right? We all know, when somebody's bluffing, you call the bluff and they're just kind of standing there like, I said it. The July 15th was never grounded in any sort of reality. And they tried this very weak tether of like, if we don't get this done by July 15th, we can't host a Women's World Cup game here. Like, it was never grounded to any sort of reality about the Commanders or when they start playing. And I think city council, now you're playing a flexing game here, right? And they got to flex back and be like, you can't tell us when to do our business, right? If there was a legitimate deadline, they would have risen to the occasion, I believe, and met it. Instead, the mayor gave a fake artificial deadline, and they had to show who was in charge by blowing past that deadline. I still have tremendous confidence this thing gets done, and this thing gets done late summer or early fall. I think it was a misstep, though, to tell these people, you have to do your job by July 15th. Well, that was never grounded in any sort of reality.
Let's say things do go south, or maybe a grandstanding politician posts a bunch of memes or something. I mean, I don't know. I'm just pulling on historical events. But let's say something crazy happens. Is Maryland really the current location of Nubs Field? Is that viable for them, or do they have all their eggs in this basket?
All their eggs are in this basket, Danny. You know that. They could build Landover 2.0. They could go down to Dumfries. I'm sure there's some lovely people down in Dumfries. I've never met them, but I'm sure they're listening to this program. I don't want to knock the good people at Dumfries. There are plenty of places you can build a stadium. Danny, there's only one place you can build a stadium that would host a giant World Cup game, a college football national championship, major Taylor Swift-style concerts, right? And it's right in the middle of the nation's capital. It's a showpiece arena. From the Josh Harris perspective, he wants to be hanging out in that box at a Super Bowl with Roger Goodell, with Magic Johnson, with the president, whoever that is at the time. He wants to be at an Olympics opening ceremony there someday, right? They don't have Olympic opening ceremonies in Dumfries. They don't have them in Landover. From this ownership group's perspective, the amount you leave on the table by leaving D.C., it's gigantic.
Yeah, it seems like what they want out of the next stadium is only possible in D.C. They could do a really cool stadium. It would just be a completely different situation elsewhere. Michael, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Take care, boys.
See you, buddy.
Speaking of the stadium deal that we're all waiting on in D.C., there was an update on some drama within the D.C. City Council this morning over the fate of the proposed deal. Let's get into that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at Bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Thanks to Linnell for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kondorian Murad. They're going to help you to draft a last will and testament or set up a living trust. They'll put together a medical power of attorney or schedule a free consultation for you right now. They'll do all of those things. All you got to do is go to kmlawyers.com and tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, Martin Ostermel covers D.C. politics, I believe, for 51st News. And he's had a lot of different reports and nuggets along the way on the D.C. City Council.
Yep.
And what's going on with the stadium. And he tweeted this late this morning, right before we went on the air, early afternoon. He said, there was mild drama in the D.C. Council this morning over the fate of the proposed Commander Stadium deal, with some council members accusing Chairman Mendelson of keeping them in the dark on the next steps. The issue revolves around an independent analysis of the stadium deal the council has commissioned, which was initially due on June 30th, but has been delayed. Mendelson has seen drafts of the report, but they have not been shared more widely. The main frustrations came from council member Wendell Felder, who represents the RFK site. He's one of the yeses on this project, obviously. It seems like you're the gatekeeper of this body, and you make all the decisions on RFK, he told Mendelson. Felder wants a quick vote on the proposed deal, not for the council to wait until the fall, as Mendelson has proposed. He also rejected Mendelson's suggestion that all council members should weigh in or on possible community benefits. Felder says Ward 7 should primarily benefit. Other council members seemed similarly frustrated. Again, this is all from Martin Ostermel for 51st News. He said that Mendelsohn's office was largely controlling the process around the stadium deal. There are council members upset by that. Some, though, gave Mendelsohn the benefit of the doubt on getting the independent analysis completed ahead of the July 29, 30th hearings. Now, obviously, there's a deadline coming up in a week they're not going to meet, where the mayor and the team wanted them to already vote on this thing. But we've heard from several council members, recently Charles Allen, before that a couple of others, who told us about this independently commissioned report that they were waiting on getting back, which apparently was due June 30th. It's now July 8th, and they haven't seen it yet, according to one council member.
Isn't that funny? Remember what Phil Mendelsohn, what frustration did he express with us a couple months back?
Being left in the dark and how long it was taking for him to get answers from and see the paperwork he needed to see from the mayor.
Isn't that just special? Yeah. So, I don't know, man. This all fits, honestly. And again, being the person that knows before everybody else and having that information kind of helps you lord over folks. It seems to me, by the way, Mendelsohn might be a convert onto this in terms of the stadium deal, maybe more bullish than he was at various points.
Why now, do you say that?
Just a feeling. I can't necessarily back that up with excellent reasoning and win in a court of law. But it just going through
because nothing he said has changed. I mean, he came on our station a couple days after the press conference with us and said, it's not a no for me, but it's a no right now on this deal, and basically kicked the can down the road. And the last thing I saw him publicly say was, yeah, he still thinks they'll work out a deal in the fall, but not this deal and not right now. So I don't think what he's saying publicly has changed at all, I guess, is my point.
Well, the money being left alone, that's not changing, and we're just moving this to the fall. We're commissioning a report,
You don't think that was all part of the process anyway? That just seems like the boxes that need to be checked whether they do it or not.
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to, again, as I said, it's going to be hard for me to defend this. Like, he went from, to me, someone that I go, he is firmly in the no column to, okay, now I'm hearing you out, and there's some sense to be made, and I get the sense that there's momentum on this. So, I don't know. Again, this is me talking out of my tuchus, but it felt initially to me like he was going to stand in the way, and I don't feel like he's in the way anymore. I think he's in the slowdown. I think he's a parachute on people's back as they're trying to run down the road.
Right.
But I don't think he's an obstacle anymore.
So you have way more knowledge of the inner workings of D.C. politics than I do, because you lived this for a long time and you lived in D.C. and you followed this and this was your life. And I remember some of the conversations we would have over the years of different things that were happening, not necessarily on air. But so you know more about like who gets along with who and whatever else. And maybe that was part of why you felt how you did it about Mendelsohn in the stadium. But since the day of the press conference, I've never felt like he was a hard no. I mean, he's said the opposite, for what it's worth. I mean, he has never said, I'm not going to back this. And he's always acknowledged that there was a possibility of a stadium being a really good deal for the city. But he was kind of along the lines of everyone else that we've had in that was a no, which is none of them will just come out and say, absolutely not, I'm not giving a penny to Josh Harris. That's the one thing I actually give credit to the one council member, Nadu, the woman who just isn't doing media and basically put out a press release the first day and was like, nope, never, not helping you with the stadium. See you later. Everybody else is kind of going, I don't like this deal very much, and I need this or that, but I'm not a no, period. But I don't know if that's better, necessarily. They're just vaguely saying, I could get behind a deal, and I could get behind a deal eventually, but not this deal and not right now, which is kind of what's on the table and the only thing that matters. So I don't know if it's better to not be a hard and fast no.
Yeah.
It seems like, I'm not saying they're all this way, but many of the no's on the city council, it feels to me like you're a no and you just don't want to say you're a no. So you're saying I'm a no right now.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, to me, the stadium guy historically on the DC City Council was the dude named Jack Evans. And you'll notice he's not on the council anymore. The reason, if I've got the story straight, if I don't, allegedly, whatever I'm supposed to say so that nobody gets mad, was he was funneling business to his business, right? To like basically his consulting firm, his friend's consulting firm. So he was exiled off the council in disgrace. He's on the payroll all the time with the DC City Council. So he's now back working for the city council or working for the city again with a $100,000+ a year gig that's right there on the books, part of the budget. You can't ignore it. It's not some crazy reporting, just a freedom of information thing. Again, it's written down. And he was the guy that helped commission the study for the stadium. You don't go to the pro stadium guy unless you want a result that says something about good about the stadium. He's involved doing something again in and around D.C. When I hear Jack Evans, the next word I say is stadium. If you want someone to tell you how great a stadium is, you call Jack Evans. That guy's available to tell you that stadiums are wonderful. He's back in some capacity. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just as much as that, this isn't kind of like cut off at the knees or they're going to some sort of impartial type deal. And again, I don't know what consulting firm they use to do a stadium feasibility study on economic impact or whatever other fancy word. I don't know, and it's not something I'm going to go digging on. But like when I see that face again, it tells you
right.
Stadium is in the air, right?
No, it doesn't make any sense, if I'm being honest, that they wouldn't be willing to do some stadium deal eventually. I'm not saying this deal now, which is my preference, but they've got a job to do. They've got to get the best deal possible for the nation's capital, and they've got to do it on a time frame that works for them to get their due diligence done and whatever else they need. But it wouldn't make sense, in my opinion, to not do any deal ever and to have a stadium built somewhere else. And so right now it seems like what's likely is the team wants a deal today and ahead of the 15th, and they want this deal, and the city council, at least the majority of them, you need 7 yeses, you've only got 4 still, which is the number you had the day of the press conference. Nobody's changed. The city council is saying, well, if you change enough things and it's actually a different deal on our timeline, then we'll do it. And the team is going, well, that doesn't work for us. We need to be in a stadium by 2030. And I don't think they're going to be in a stadium by 2030 because they're probably going to have to operate on the D.C. City Council's timeline. And they're ultimately, as we've talked about, going to just decide that D.C. is more important even if you have to wait an extra year. The frustration they have as an organization right now is that the city council's telling them, well, you actually still could do it by 2030 even if we get back to you in the fall. And the team is going, that's not how we feel about it with the real estate people that we're talking to. But I guess the city council may know best. Just ask them. But here is this. I'm going deeper into the reporting here from Martin Ostermull, speaking more about this riff between members of the council today and Mendelson, according to at least one member holding out information. He went on to say, speaking somewhat in Mendelson's defense, Councilmember Fruman said the dealing with the budget and the stadium deal at the same time makes no sense. He says, I don't want to negotiate with the Commanders in the middle of this incredibly complicated budget, he said. Mendelson also defended himself, saying that the mayor waited almost a month to send the council the actual stadium deal bill after the deal itself was publicly unveiled, something we heard him complain about to us. He said he also says he moved quickly to commission the independent analysis of the deal. This deal, in terms of legislation, is incredibly complicated, said Mendelson, noting that as written, it includes no firm details on housing on the site, any sanctions of clawbacks the team could face, etc. As the debate closed, Felder again put in a push for a quiver vote and for Mendelson to include some of the council members in direct talks with the team. If we brought everybody together, this council, we can outline things that you and your team could miss, he told Mendelson. So answer me this, and I don't know how local politics or D.C. politics works. Why wouldn't all of the council members constantly be meeting with Mendelson and the team? They're all voting on this thing. Why would this be a Mendelson show with the team? Again, just reading this again, he suggests if we brought everybody together, this council, we can outline things that you and your team could miss, including more members of the council as his request. I know they were all at dinner recently to have a conversation, but why aren't they all together every time they meet?
Great question. I mean, to me, it's probably a roles thing. So in other words, think about this. Our station, we're the flagship station of the Nationals, right? So that means some adults way above our pay grade have to meet, right? So our big boss and other bosses meet with some of the bosses over there. You and I aren't going to that meeting being like, you know what would be great is if we fixed the toaster box in left field. You know what
would
be awesome?
Yeah, but it's a bad analogy because we don't vote on the deal or not. Everyone that votes on the deal is in that meeting.
Fair enough. But
our program director, our brand manager at that, well, whatever Ivy's title is, the big boss of the whole cluster.
Pick up on that if you want to, but that's what it is. It's different roles to take the concerns of the council and bring them forward. And this person saying, Furman, I think it was Ward 3, is saying this would be more efficient if I could just deliver my own deals. But then it becomes every ward and every person representing every ward an endless thing of, well, what about my thing? Actually, I want this. I want that. It's like, let me take, as your representative, let me take a list of all the concerns or all the wants or all the desires
right.
to the meeting and, you know, acting on your behalf. And they're saying
but the guy acting on my behalf doesn't agree with me on anything. The guy acting on my behalf isn't pro the stadium deal, and I am. So I can understand why he's going, you're not the proxy I want at this meeting.
Well, he's taking the concerns of other people that are concerned, I guess is the way to put it.
Yes, that's his job, but but my point is it's not like they're in agreement. I bet you someone who agrees with Mendelsohn doesn't have nearly as much of an issue with him sitting at that meeting on their behalf. But you and I, meaning this guy and Mendelsohn, disagree completely on the project. I'm ready to say yes right now. You're ready to say no. Why should you be the guy, the only person talking to them on my behalf?
Again, I'm not advocating for the way DC politics works or local politics works. I don't think they do a particularly good job. I'm just saying this is the way it would be considered, right? Where I've spoken to I'm now, because I'm the council chair, I got five people and with different, and you remember that Post article where they went through what everybody wanted, right?
As course,
a condition for yes. So I'll take those from Ward 5, Ward 3, Ward 6, Ward 7, this person at large. Here are their concerns and I'm going to present them to the team. What can we do about that? Other people don't have concerns, right? So Brooke Pinto from, I think she's Ward 2. She's good. Now, there's a couple small things, but bear with me just for the sake of simplicity. I don't need to bring her concerns to it because she doesn't have any, right? I'm the representative so we get this done more quickly instead of each person going around the circle yelling about the things that they want.
Meaning there's too many chefs in the kitchen.
Maybe.
It's a good enough answer.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if I'm voting on this thing, I should be privy to any meetings I want to be at, but again, I don't know how DC politics works. Martin Ostermull, last thing I'll mention from his piece here, or this thread on social, 51st News is where he applies his trade. He says, generally, these types of council family fights pop up with big deadlines approaching. In this case, the first budget vote is next week. There's still many moving parts, so maybe this isn't as uncommon as we'd like. He says, I'm also hearing that some of the frustrations with how Mendelsohn manages the council are more longstanding.
Yeah.
He doesn't always communicate well with members.
Isn't that funny?
Though I'm told he's been making efforts to improve. I mean, this just sounds like normal
yes.
politics,
yeah,
right?
100%.
And by the way, that was the case. He can't stand the mayor, from what I can gather. So, like, this whole thing starting with her excluding him and then him being mad at her and hating that she did it, like, they have a long-standing beef, those two.
Yes. And lost to me also is the I love this part of it, the thread. And this is from Martin Ostermule. And in what was certainly not just a weird coincidence, the commander's president and two other senior officials just happened to be walking by as the council members were getting out of their meeting. They're there, man. Just they're on it. Trust me. Like they're not. They know their way around all the different most efficient Uber route, the best places to park, good places to get a cup of coffee by where the DC City Council meets. Those dudes are on it.
Yeah, they will be there waiting.
Yeah, they know
whenever
what they're doing.
The city wants to start talking some brass tacks here. So the question for you guys becomes, what's your level of confidence that this thing makes some progress here in short order? And also, do you actually buy this idea that the federal government could get back involved? I mean, it was just yesterday that while he was about to board Air Force One, Trump is suggesting that they still own the land, which is not accurate. The lease deal is already done, and the city now has the land, but it was leased to the city, and I guess he could argue, I don't think they would win, but he would argue that they leased the land for a stadium, when, based on the people I've talked to, they leased the land, the stadium was the idea, but there was no written agreement that it had to be for a stadium. So I'm not sure if he's even correct with what he's saying, that they still own the land, DC's got the land back now. That having been said, he said, we're willing to engage here, and maybe there are some opportunities to go around them. Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Well, we see what happens. I've been looking at the deal, and, you know, I don't blame them. They have to, it's a very important piece of property. It's a great piece of property, so we'll see. But if I can help them out, I will. You know, ultimately, we control that. The federal government ultimately controls it, so we'll see what happens. I saw the plans. I saw the stadium. The owner's very, very successful and a very good man. I know him a little bit. And it would be a great place for the NFL to be there, I can tell you that. So if they want to negotiate a little tough, that's okay with me.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So I've asked a few people that are smarter than me today about this possibility, the involvement of the federal government, Trump intervening on the stadium negotiation, and the comments yesterday that ultimately we control that, meaning the land. He said we control the land. And it doesn't sound like that's actually the case because the lease has been executed. So the federal government has already leased the land to D.C. It is now theirs. They can't just take it back. The power he would have, as it was explained to me, Danny, or federal government, if need be, would have, would be in budget purse strings, meaning that they could tinker with D.C., which they did, by the way. They tinkered with their budget this time and made them cut a bunch of things because D.C. is in a state and it's a weird, convoluted situation, but they have other levers that they can pull with D.C. that they couldn't with other states. And so is it as easy as saying that they absolutely can't get involved? Of course not. But to say that the federal government owns the land, or you know, that they've already leased to D.C., that they're in charge of what happens there, is probably not accurate either. So that's just something worth knowing based on what I was told today by people who are in on this negotiation.
Okay, so I'd read slightly differently.
What did you see?
So the ultimate, this is such in the weeds of D.C. politics type stuff. But so in other words, like if I lease my home to you, right, or I rent my home out to you, I still own the home. You've got control of it. I'm not allowed to just go barging in there without your permission, et cetera. But I still ultimately own the home. That's kind of the analogy here is the federal government still owns the land and could intervene. Again, I don't know what mechanisms they would pull. It sounds like maybe with the folks you talk to, that might be the path that they would do that. But they still own the land and they're leasing it for nothing to D.C. So they've got control of it for 100 years or 99 years, according to this deal. And it's with the idea that they would be building a stadium and develop the site and do something right for the first time. But because they still retain ownership, there are some quote-unquote rights in there that they might have. And you might get into a fascinating legal challenge, which I cannot tell you how above my pay grade is that would be. Yeah.
Well, which it wouldn't be the first time, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of those going around in these parts.
Contagious.
For sure. But, yeah, the quote I have written down here from the person I talked to today is when I asked about the possible intervening and trying to get the land back or dictating what should happen on a land that has already been leased that the city now has, the quote I wrote down was, "I cannot explain how they would do that." That does not mean they wouldn't do it or wouldn't try to do it, but I cannot explain how they would do that was the quote here. But it has been floated even by Mendelsohn, by the way. He was one of the first people to bring this up about cutting the D.C. City Council out and, you know, the possibility of federal involvement and them not wanting that to happen. The same person pointed out to me that it does feel like bluster. I mean, it was in the same kind of Q&A over a couple questions where apparently shortly thereafter the idea of changing the name back to Redskins, which isn't happening, came up as well. So that takes away a little of the credibility of the idea of like me thinking, oh, they're definitely going to intervene and do something if you're also saying, yeah, they should change the name back to Redskins, which I know is not reality and is not happening, which isn't to say that I wouldn't necessarily be happy if that name was back, but I just know that it's also not a thing. But only in D.C., man.
Yeah.
I mean, is that not why we are where we are? You see all these other municipalities, all these other territories and these cities and states to get their stadiums. And here we've got outside of Air Force One as the president's getting ready to jump on a bird, answering questions about, you know, the geopolitical world landscape and everything else. Do you want to intervene in the commander's efforts to build a stadium in Southeast D.C.?
Yeah, strange bedfellows sometimes, right? Where you're sitting there. I mean, again, the Republican senator from Kentucky and the mayor of D.C. are like best buddies. That's how the land gets to D.C.'s control. You've got various owners around the league. I mean, you know, rest in peace, Jim Irsay, but that's the guy that fires the first salvo across the bow towards Dan Snyder in public. So it's like, you know, any point in the storm, when you're trying to get something that you want to get, you never know who your allies are going to end up being, right? Again, I never thought in a million years you would have that group of the mayor, Josh Harris from the field school, and the president of the United States sitting in a room talking about how great everybody is, and I can't wait to go to a game at that stadium. I don't know, man. It just, as you said, only here. There are struggles everywhere else. There's normal politics at play, local city government, stuff like that. There is nothing like this relationship with the federal city right here and then local Washington, D.C. politics. There's nothing like it.
Brian Kenny is one of the smartest Major League Baseball media personalities in existence. You see him on MLB Network every single day on his own show, MLB Now. He's going to join us next to talk about the Nats shaking up their organization this week. That's live coming up on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.